Chapter 16.
Lysander, Rider of the Storm. I wake in darkness to the sound of my starshell's low oxygen warning. Seraphina is dead. Her prowess in battle far outstripped mine, yet I am alive, and she is not. It feels so unfair. That should not have been the end of her story, just like Cassius's end. From a distance, death seems the end of a story, but when you are near, when you can smell the burning skin, see the entrails, you see death for what it is, a traumatic cauterization of a life thread, no purpose, no conclusion, just snip. I knew war was dreadful, but I did not expect to fear it. How can anyone not, when death is just a blind giant with scissors? This will not end well. Dido will sense a devious hand at work, because she did not see her daughter become a smear of organs. But Romulus knew. He dreaded this. He gave his life to stop this, and he failed. I do not look forward to telling Diomedes, if I even get the chance. The last thing I remember is existence breaking in two. At least that is the sound the sky made when the storm god fell to the desert floor. It was not Kalindora, or Roan, or Cicero, whose payload destroyed the engine. Bitterly contested by the garrison, my Praetorians made three charges against the teeth of the enemy railguns. Only on the last did I manage to dispose my final missile into the gravity engines. It was not a conscious choice to forge ahead alone. An enemy munition simply destroyed my radio transmitter, so I did not know my wingmen were dead. Hours later, I still do not know their names. I feel that is immoral. I run a diagnostic. My railgun ammunition is depleted. Little charge remains in the energy core that feeds the pulse fist, engines, and life support. The star shell is already sapping power from my pulse armor to continue to function. I will have to disconnect soon. It takes the better part of 5 minutes to free myself from the sand. When I do, I lower my canopy and gasp for air. The morning smells of petrichor and ozone. It is already 70 degrees Celsius. The sun hides behind irradiated clouds. Lightning dances in the black north. Though I am in a pocket of peace, the sandstorm still roils in the deep desert. In all directions, veils of dust shimmy across the landscape like tattered skirts. Mounds of sand shiver around me as Praetorians and Scorpions climb their way out of the sand. It is 0630. Ajax should be here by now. Did the storm take him? What fate has befallen the invasion to the north is all lost to the sea. As I move to help the Praetorians, my starshell rattles in protest and freezes as hydraulic fluid pours from the pelvis. I release the inner latch and climb out. I barely recognize the war rig I rode down to the planet. Only my pulse armor is undented. I check to make sure my Bellona razor is still in its leg holster. Then I ping Seraphina's tracking node. There are no results. The Ladon has taken the daughter of Romulus. A blood fly as thick as my thumb pesters my face. I barely move as it bites and drinks from my neck. I push it against my skin until it pops. More buzz nearby. Hundreds. I follow their current until they make a cloud over something on the ground, a dying horse. It is a wild sun-blood mare, the most cherished of Mercury's carved wonders. Its legs are beyond mangled, and its skin is gone. Only its orange mane remains untouched by the feasting flies. Roan kneels beside it, his starshell discarded in a dune. Freed of his own starshell, Cicero saunters over, rubbing his jaw with his pulse armor gauntlet.
Oh, pity. Our sun blood.
Before all else, Praetorians are equestrians. Before they learn to shoot, they shovel stable stalls. each is given a young horse to train while at the ludus. At the end of their training, they are given a gun and told to kill the horse. The mindless killers that do are bound for the Black Ops legions. Only those that prove themselves loyal to their comrades, be they beast or man, are trusted to guard the blood. Roan has likely not seen a horse in many years. "Did you know there were once 50,000 griffin on Mars?" he asks, as he strokes the mare's forehead. "Poachers sell their talons and feathers to new money on Luna. Now there are less than 500. The horse jerks as Roan's pulse knife sinks into her brain. Nothing beautiful survives the mob. The flies continue their feast as he stands. They will have found Seraphina by now. Who will they find next? By the look in Roan's flinty eyes, I know I am not the only witness to the horror. "It's just a wild mare. There are thousands out here," Cicero says. "My stallion, Blood of Empire, makes that one look like a pony." I turn to him until he leaves, muttering about the loonies. I look back at the horse, seeing Seraphina in its place for some reason. "Did you know her well?" "The Ra?" Roan asks. "Not as well as she deserved, I believe. She thought little of me, truth be told." Kalindora marches up. She looks at the sky. "Ajax is late. Praetorian, report." By Roan's count, our casualties were 94. 30 dead, the rest missing or injured. Of the 900 Praetorians left, only 30 star shells are still operational. Cicero's force is slightly larger, but bore more of the casualties. "Shell cannibalized the pulse armor power," Roan continues, as I walk with him amongst the Praetorians. "Over 17 hours of sustained engagement and that wind," he shakes his head. "Only 33 have juice for boot liftoff. It'll be a hike." The grey Praetorian squints south. Few features interrupt the arid plier. "We can make it." Cicero laughs from the nearby dune. He slides down it like a child to come to a sitting posture in front of us. "My good man, loath though I am to contradict a soldier of your stature, this is my desert. Any man whose boots are dead will die here unless the shuttles come. Without cooling, your pulse armor will become an oven. How much is left in your water reserves? A third? We are kitted for heavy combat in the north, not the fucking Ladan," he sighs. "But do you really suspect something they call the Eater of Armies is to be anything less than an eater of fucking armies?" He glares at me and stands. "Where the hell is that reprobate Ajax, anyhow?" Man-made thunder rumbles to the south. "Ah, so he's begun without us. That muscled walking penis." I ask Roan if the comms are still down. He nods. "Orbit's no go." He gestures to a group of Praetorians atop the Storm God. "But we're boosting our signal with a field array. Should be able to reach Iron Leopard Command in a few minutes." "What the devil is she doing over there?" Cicero squints at Kalindora. She stands on a dune to the west, looking out at the dust-veiled deep desert. "Composing poetry?" I use precious suit energy to join her. I call her name as I land. She motions me to be quiet and cocks her head to the wind. Dust sprays as Cicero lands as well. "Do you hear that?" she asks. "No," he says. "Is it the planet asking why House Loon hid the Storm God from their vaunted ally?" "Shut up, Cicero." "Only because I'm thirsty." I join her on a knee and listen. Granules of sand clink against my armor. A lizard's tiny claws crackle as he moves shadow to shadow. Thunder rumbles in the north. Wind whispers around me, whistling through the boulders, through my armor. It carries the sounds of distant machines. I bolt to my feet. Someone moves within the storm.
"Those are Drachenjäger footfalls," Kalindora says.
"Oh, dear," Cicero says. He backs up,
Time to go.
Searching the waste around us, I don't know how we can. Dunes and the storm to north and east, flat, hard pan to the south. The eastern mountains are the closest cover, but the machines move between us and them. Except for the downed storm god, there is no refuge for our men on foot, nor can we bear the weight of all their armour. It would take 10 minutes to get everyone out of their suits, far too long. We burst back to the Praetorians and land where Roan has set up his comms tower on the hull of the storm god. There's a gargling sound as the signal connects. Ajax's voice is washed in static. His face warps in and out.
"Lysander, I see you seized the moment. I had no doubt you would. Octavia would be proud," his voice mocks me.
"Where's our evac?" I snap. "We have inbound enemy armour. Our shells are dead. Our mobility..."
"It doesn't seem long ago that we were last in New Sparta, does it?"
"Ajax, we need evac. Do you register?"
"I looked forward to those winters on Grandfather's estate more than anything. Believe me when I say that. You were less serious there, away from the old crone. There was no one to impress. Not until Grandfather took us hunting and left us in the bush. He told us to race back."
His eyes narrow.
"You remember?" "Of course you do. You remember everything."
Kalindora's face falls as she understands. Cicero's face becomes a mask of utter contempt. I hold out hope that it is not what it seems.
"You remember how I begged you not to leave me behind, because I sprained my ankle? Didn't really. I was just afraid of being left alone, because you were always so sure where you were going. If it was just us, you would have helped me. But you had to win, didn't you? You had to show them that you were worthy of being the heir of Selenius."
His lips curl back from his teeth.
"You left me behind. It took me 3 days to find my way back, and when I did, Grandfather wouldn't even let me join the dinner table because I was unwashed. You found me crying behind the stables. You'd brought me your own food, and you sat with me. And do you remember what you said?
Ajax,
you really must learn your navigations, Ajax."
"I see."
The silence between us is cold and final and mutually understood. "Is this your choice, or Atalantia's?"
"Mine. I will mourn for you, little brother, but I will not step aside. This is my time. Give Kalindora my apologies, but she chose poorly."
He pauses, no mockery in his voice.
"Should the void take you, celebrate, my brother, for before death there was glory."
The link drops. I stand rooted to the spot. I thought if betrayal came, it would come from Atalantia, not Ajax. I saw the signs, but I chose to believe in a friend. What a pity for us both, for all those memories to come to this. Is this how Cassius felt?
"I am to die for a brotherly feud," Cicero spits. "This is utterly Venusian."
Roan speaks in a tight whisper. "My liege, we can evacuate you south via air."
"And how many men could we take?" I ask.
"Less than a third."
I search the Praetorians on the ground beneath as they attempt to leech energy from downed star shells. They came for me. To save my life, I would have to abandon 600 of them. I search for some alternative and find only one. I would know the names of my wingmen on the third charge,
Flavius Tivesia and Carinti Occipiter.
I repeat the names as the sound of the enemy machines grows louder.
"What would Octavia do?" I ask.
Roan says nothing.
"She would run,"
Kalindora replies with a blank expression.
"A fine idea," Cicero says. "Let's..."
I stare into the dust. If that is the measure of our loyalty to our men, perhaps we deserve to die. Kalindora tilts her head at me. Are you mad? Cicero's narrow eyes go wide. Roan steps forward. My liege, you are not a sovereign. Not anything, really. I grimace. But I will not live while men sworn to me die. I know the risk they took in coming here. Kalindora gives me a nod of surprised approval. Roan, prepare the Praetorians as you see fit. The enemy won't be long. This is not how Roan thought it would be, but he holds his salute for an extra second before hopping down to his men.
I will not die here, Cicero says. Your boots have juice, you fool. Enough to get you to Heliopolis.
Go if you must, Cicero. I abandoned the Praetorians before. I will not do so again. He comes within an inch of my face.
They say a strain of madness runs through the gens' loon. Oh, how right they are. Farewell, ye infected victims of the martial disease.
Cicero takes to the air without a word of apology to his men, who cannot follow. 2 dozen fly with him. More than 1,200 watch their leader go and look down at their depleted armour. I remain with Kalindora atop the storm god as the enemy machines groan and rattle within the dust. I close my eyes, seeking my mother's face. Even now in the darkness I cannot find her. I feel so alone. Then I hear Kalindora draw her razor. Lysander! When I open my eyes, a single figure emerges from the dust less than a kilometre away. A desiccated rug flaps from his shoulder. He spots us on the storm god and thrusts his hand up into the profane crux. Only a few of his words reach us. Heart beats like a drum. The scout disappears, and a moment later the sound that has plagued my dreams from the Palatine to the belt finds me in the desert waste. The sound could only come from a legion escorting the Reaper. The howling of wolves. Kalindora goes still. He should be in the north, pinned in by Atalantia's legions, not 1,000 kilometers south, not here. How could they still have power? How could they cross so much distance when we barely made it 100 kilometers into the Hypercane's headwinds before draining our suits? Kalindora's awed voice answers the unspoken question. He rode the storm. The wait for Darrow is not long, but it is horrid. My eyes sting from the heat. It radiates up from the metal hull we perch upon. My nose fills with the fumes of machines, the dry lifelessness of the desert and smoke. The enemy emerges from the dust like a line of mechanized Mongols, a depleted legion of filthy metal Drachenjägers, carried by the winds of the storm, trudges over the crest. They are not so numerous as they sounded. I glance over at Roan. A grin spreads on his face. With the high ground and an entrenched position, we might yet survive this. Kalindora thinks otherwise. My tongue tastes the chalky roof of my mouth and feels the contours of my teeth. I tense my hand around my razor. It feels small in the pulse armor gauntlet. I raise my helm. Arroo!
Stay with the air, Kalindora says to Roan.
33 Praetorians with life yet in their starshell cores cluster tight around me atop the downed storm god's highest perch. Nearly 2,000 scorpions and Praetorians shelter in firing lines along the rim of the broken engine below. It begins in silence, and then comes the terrific clamour of 4 wedges of Drachenjägers thundering across the desert. Their armoured legs, each twice as tall as a starshell, eat up the distance. Guided anti-personnel missiles slither toward us. Interceptors race to challenge them. depleted uranium rounds hammer through the wreckage around our position like it's cheesecloth. Praetorians fire back from prone positions all along the rim of the Storm God. There are no better sharpshooters in all the legions. A Draken teeters sideways and explodes. Another runs off at an oblique angle as its pilot is shot through the cockpit. With a heavy anti-tank rifle, Roan fires down at the plane. I scan the charging Drachenjägers. Darrow won't be in one of those rigs. He likes mobility. Where is he? I turn around to search our flanks for Darrow. As a boy, I watched him become a leader. I've studied him more than any other man. I know his trade, but that knowledge seems so useless here in the chaos of battle. There are only four directions, but Darrow has used so many tactics over the years. I freeze. It feels like he could come from anywhere. I spot shadows moving in the dust cloud, kicked up by the Drachenjäger's charge. "He's using them to obscure his movements," I say to Kalindora. "Like at the Battle of Gibraltar. With a frontal sally, we can hit him when he swings to a flank." I concur. "Prepare to charge," Kalindora tells the Praetorians. Starshell pulse fists whine as my men shunt their remaining core power to their weapons and their boots. The heat of the desert invades my suit. On Kalindora's signal, we break from our position, bursting upward into the sky and ricocheting forward, headlong toward the shadows over the charging Drachenjägers. Then something ripples above in the sky. A Praetorian's body comes apart beside me, bisected cleanly at the waist. I lift my razor just in time. Something clangs against it, knocking me downward. The air contorts above, as men in ghost cloaks shear down through the center of my charging Praetorians. I shoot point blank at a blur and see the light bend as the railgun round goes through a man's chest. He spins downward, his wolf cloak rippling. I see the play too late to stop it. Darrow baited us with the shadows and flanked our aerial charge by sending a small group around to hit us as we forsook our position. They cleave through us. I pivot in the air to witness slaughter behind me. The world slows as I see him amidst my men, the camouflage withering away to reveal a hurricane in battered crimson pulse armor, a white razor sparking as it carves through a Praetorian starshell to sever half his neck. I burst toward the Reaper and am smashed sideways as I collide with another body. Kalindora shields me from an armored man's pulse fire. Roan mows him down. I try to rally the left wing of my men, but it is a slaughter. And at the center of it swirls a god of death. The fighter's helmet flashes. Around his body whirls that famous gold-killing blade. As violence reaches for him, Darrow does not flinch like a man. He reaches like a covetous river. He pulls violence to him, drinks it into his current, and leaps around the battlefield with a seemingly mindless capriciousness, which, when inspected, illuminates the genius of his violence. He herds us together, making sure we are tight and compact, so that our options constrict and his men's expand. It is something you can only understand when you feel dread sinking into you, when you realize you're between the claws of a trap, and they're about to close. You feel surprised that it was so easy to trick you, surprised that this is how it happens. All those years of preparing, reviewing battles, correcting others, it doesn't feel like we fell into a trap. It feels almost accidental, yet still inevitable. I feel small and stupid. "Kill the Reaper!" I shout as I plunge for him, Kalindora at my right, Roan and three others at my left. We cut through two rising knights, and then, as if smelling the murder on our minds, Darrow, without even looking, jolts backward toward us at a surprising angle. A Praetorian's head splits in half. Roan is knocked from the sky. Kalindora's left arm spins from her body. My own razor arcs forward toward Darrow's turned head and finds only air as he performs some aerial alchemy and bends, floating upward, only to shoot back down. His razor slashes at me as he flies past. I parry, but the force is incredible. I feel a blazing pain in my arm. I'm struck again as he backhands me, like a child with his blade. The razor cuts through my grav boots, and I plummet from the sky. I slam down onto the hard pan, but do not lose consciousness. I stare up in my broken armor. Metal men dance against the crackling clouds. Bodies fall like dying metal birds, leaking blood and machine fluid. The Reaper is already passing on, leaving the leftovers for his men. A star shell crashes down atop me, pinning me down. Another slams into the sand. I feel heat on my right cheek and turn just enough to see a downed shell's broken boot thruster sputtering flame against my helmet. I panic and shove in vain. Heat grows as it melts through the armor from the side. I shout and scramble, but I go nowhere as the heat intensifies and a hole opens in the right side of my helmet. My skin begins to itch. I flail, overcome with dread. The itch becomes agony. My right eyebrow curls as it burns. The epidermis begins to bubble and peel away. Fire reaches down to the dermis, shrinking it and splitting it open as fat leaks out and feeds the flames. The wolf howls fade in the distance. The flames eat my eye. Only then do I begin to scream?